You're listening to an African Elements top news story for June 19, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why modern anti-DEI laws cannot stop Black progress. On June 19, 2026, Cuyahoga County Councilwoman Meredith Turner stood before a crowd in Cleveland, Ohio. The nation was celebrating the fifth anniversary of Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Turner delivered a powerful message about the history of Black Americans. She described the holiday as a love letter to resistance. This description framed the holiday as a celebration of enduring survival. Her speech occurred during a major political campaign against corporate and academic diversity programs. The modern pushback against diversity, equity, and inclusion has changed the political landscape. Many federal and state-level leaders are actively seeking to defund these programs. Yet, Turner reminded the audience that Black progress does not depend on political trends. The importance of Juneteenth does not rise or fall based on who occupies the White House. To understand this resilience, one must look at the history behind the headlines. This history reveals a continuous cycle of achievement and pushback. Throughout American history, marginalized groups have created their own avenues of advancement. They did not wait for institutional approval to seek equity and safety. Councilwoman Turner emphasized that the spirit of self-determination is older than any modern program. This perspective offers a vital guide for navigating current political battles. By looking backward, advocates can find the strength to move forward. The story of Juneteenth began on June 19, 1865, in Galveston, Texas. On that day, Major General Gordon Granger arrived with Union soldiers to enforce emancipation. This announcement came more than 2 years after President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. The historic document had officially declared freedom on January 1, 1863. Yet, thousands of Black Texans remained enslaved during those silent years. The long delay was caused by geographic isolation and political greed. Texas was highly isolated from the direct path of Union military forces. Because of this isolation, the federal government could not easily enforce the law. Many Texas slave owners intentionally hid the news of emancipation from their workers. They wanted to exploit enslaved labor for several additional harvest cycles. This calculated delay showed how systems of oppression actively hold back basic human rights. The forced labor of harvesting crops like cotton and corn continued without interruption. Enslaved people kept working under brutal conditions because they did not know they were free. Landowners actively maintained this silence to protect their own financial interests. This history reminds society that progress is often delayed by those in power. When General Granger read General Order No. 3, the words revealed a compromised liberty. The order did declare absolute equality of personal and property rights. It changed the legal tie between masters and slaves into a contract for hired labor. However, the military text also contained strict limitations for the newly freed population. The military order advised former slaves to remain quietly at their current homes. It told them to work for wages rather than travel to find families. The government warned that it would not support what it called idleness. Freed people were also forbidden from gathering at military posts. This language showed that official freedom was highly regulated by the states. The transition from slavery to free labor was carefully controlled to preserve the agricultural economy. Former slave masters became employers, but they maintained immense social and financial control. Newly freed people faced immediate vagrancy laws if they chose not to work. This compromised transition proved that legal freedom was only the first step in a long struggle. Historically, the meaning of freedom has often been limited by institutional guidelines. Despite these regulations, formerly enslaved people celebrated their liberation with joy. They established Jubilee Day in the years following the Civil War. These early gatherings faced intense local opposition from hostile white citizens. Segregated laws barred Black Americans from celebrating in public, state-funded parks. Rather than abandon their celebrations, Black communities pooled their limited financial resources. In 1872, Black leaders in Houston purchased a tract of land for $800. They named this space Emancipation Park to host their annual festivals. This act of self-reliance shows the deep bonds of Black families and community groups. Other communities across Texas and the South followed this exact model. They bought private land to escape the constant threat of racial violence. These parks became safe havens for cultural preservation, political organizing, and family reunions. This grassroots movement showed that Black Americans would always fund their own progress, and they created safe spaces for joy when the state refused to protect them. The modern frameworks of diversity, equity, and inclusion developed much later. They grew out of the formal legal battles of the civil rights movement. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 served as the critical foundation. This historic legislation outlawed workplace discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. In 1965, President Lyndon B. Johnson signed Executive Order 11246 to expand these rights. This order required federal contractors to practice affirmative action. It forced employers to proactively recruit and hire underrepresented groups. This policy did not permit rigid quotas, which are strictly forbidden by federal law. Instead, it used placement goals and benchmarks to measure progress. Over time, compliance programs evolved into broader corporate diversity management. In 1970, Black workers at the Xerox Corporation pioneered employee resource groups. They formed these voluntary groups to address corporate discrimination and build support. These employee-led organizations provided mentorship and career development for marginalized workers. By the late 1980s, corporate America adopted the business case for diversity. Leaders argued that diverse teams drive innovation and improve market share. Following the racial justice protests of 2020, organizations pledged billions of dollars to DEI programs. Chief diversity officers were hired to dismantle systemic bias within major institutions. The modern challenges to diversity programs follow a very familiar historical pattern. Every major advancement in Black civil rights has faced severe institutional pushback. During Reconstruction, the federal government created the Freedmen's Bureau. This agency assisted formerly enslaved people with land, education, and legal protection. The program faced immediate hostility from white Southern leaders. In 1866, President Andrew Johnson vetoed bills designed to strengthen the Bureau. He argued that protecting former slaves discriminated against white citizens. By 1872, political pressure forced Congress to close the Freedmen's Bureau. This action left Black Americans vulnerable to Jim Crow segregation and violence. A similar rollback occurred in the late 20th century. In 1996, voters in California passed Proposition 209. This state law banned affirmative action in public employment, contracting, and education. The effects of this ban were immediate and devastating. Underrepresented minority enrollment at elite campuses like UC Berkeley and UCLA dropped significantly. At Berkeley Law, the admitted pool of Black students fell to under 2%. The ban on race-conscious procurement also cost minority-owned businesses over $1 billion annually. This historic struggle highlights the ongoing struggles with federalism. State-level actions continue to challenge federal civil rights protections across the nation. The current wave of opposition represents another intense cycle of this backlash. In 2023, the Supreme Court ruled on college admissions in the Students for Fair Admissions case. The court declared that race-conscious college admissions violate the 14th Amendment. This ruling gave immense legal and political momentum to opponents of diversity programs. In early 2025, President Donald Trump signed Executive Order 14173. This order restricted federal agencies from using diversity-based hiring requirements. On the state level, conservative lawmakers moved quickly to ban diversity initiatives. In Ohio, Senate Bill 1 banned public universities from spending funds on diversity offices. The law also prohibited mandatory diversity training and hiring statements. By mid-2025, at least 18 states had passed laws restricting diversity programs. Many public universities chose to eliminate or rebrand their offices to avoid legal threats. These state laws aim to remove all group-based identity policies from public institutions. Opponents argue that these programs create racial preferences and undermine individual merit. Critics also claim that diversity statements in hiring restrict intellectual freedom. They argue that these requirements force candidates to agree with specific political views, These legislative efforts are designed to dismantle the entire infrastructure of diversity initiatives. The impact has forced a massive restructuring of higher education across the country. In the corporate sector, political pressure has forced rapid changes in language. The literal term DEI has quickly vanished from public corporate communications. A report by Gravity Research analyzed corporate messages through May 2025. The report found that corporate use of the term fell by 98%. Companies now use neutral phrases like belonging or talent development. Furthermore, public disclosures of demographic data have declined significantly. The percentage of S&P 500 companies sharing data on women in management plummeted. Federal contractors have also scaled back their programs to protect government contracts. However, the work of inclusion has not completely stopped. A study in 2026 revealed that 80% of business leaders remain committed to inclusion. Only 5% of companies have completely eliminated their existing programs. High-performing companies understand that a diverse workforce remains essential for success. Employee demand for these practices also remains very high. 86% of Gen Z workers prefer companies with active inclusion practices. They value workspaces that protect psychological safety and community. Supplier diversity programs also face scrutiny but continue to function quietly. These programs focus on sourcing goods from businesses owned by underrepresented groups. Many corporate leaders recognize that diverse suppliers strengthen supply chains. They are committed to maintaining these partnerships despite political threats. The focus has shifted from public relations to practical execution. To navigate this changing landscape, one must understand the difference between equality and equity. Equality focuses on providing the exact same resources to everyone. This approach assumes that all individuals start from the same place. It treats people uniformly without considering their unique backgrounds or barriers. In contrast, equity recognizes that systemic barriers have created unequal starting points. Equity adjusts resources and support proportionally to ensure fair outcomes. For example, providing the same tools to every worker is a form of equality. Adjusting support based on specific needs represents equity. Without an equitable framework, simple equality cannot level the playing field. Systemic disadvantages require tailored solutions to achieve true fairness. Marginalized groups often face historic hurdles that uniform policies cannot address. Equity incorporates context to build a more just society for all people. Providing equal opportunity is often insufficient when historical disadvantages persist. Equity ensures that resources are distributed where they are needed most. This approach allows every individual to reach their full potential. Understanding this distinction is vital for defending the core mission of diversity programs. The history of Juneteenth shows that Black Americans do not wait for official permission to pursue progress. The delay of the news in Galveston did not stop freedom. The modern rollback of diversity programs will not stop the push for equity. As Councilwoman Meredith Turner stated, political administrations change, but history remains the same. The struggle for racial progress has never been a straight line. It is a series of advances, followed by temporary challenges. Advocacy groups, corporations, and communities are finding quiet ways to keep moving forward. They are reframing their strategies to protect the core values of justice. The spirit of resistance remains deeply woven into the American story. Just as early generations built their own parks, modern leaders will build new paths. Progress may be deferred, but it cannot be stopped. The commitment to equity is a permanent part of the journey. As the nation reflects on Juneteenth, the holiday serves as a guide. It proves that resilience is the ultimate answer to political pushback. The love letter to resistance continues to be written by everyday people. Their actions ensure that the promise of equity will eventually be realized. Copyright, African Elements.